talk a little bit about our display here this morning. And I especially want to thank Leanna for all the work that she put into this. But there are some articles that I want to make sure that you're actually able to see, because the theme for this year is based on sort of a journey motif of moving from one place or experience in life to another place or experience in life, sort of moving forward, if you will. We can think of it in a literal physical kind of way, but it's more of a spiritual sort of, how do we move from here to another new place? And so we have some of those traditional kind of realities, like a plane and a train and cars. And I love this little camper here. I don't want to break it, but a little camper. All these things symbolizing ways in which we go from one place to another, ways in which we journey in life. And so that's sort of going to be our theme for Advent, but of course focused on more of a spiritual or existential sort of reality of how we actually move forward, and not just individually, but as a body of people. And each Sunday we'll look at a different element of how God's people were able to move forward. So hopefully that will help make sense of what is up here, which we know for those out there in Zoom world might be a little bit challenging to see. And look at this each Sunday. But let's join together in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, I just thank you so much for this beautiful day, sun that is shining. I thank you for the beautiful poinsettias in chapel here today, for those that they are in honor and memory of. I thank you for this people, and I just ask that as we begin this series, thinking in terms of how we move forward spiritually, existentially, that you will guide us and bless us during this time. Christ's name. So I was recently listening to a group of young adults who were being interviewed on CNN. The reporter asked them the pointed question, how is COVID disrupt you? How has COVID disrupted your lives? One of the young women responded by saying that her life had already been turned upside down. She was 5 when September 11th turned her world upside down. She could still remember being in that apartment in Manhattan as ashes were beginning to settle, as her mom sat in a corner and just simply wept. And she heard her dad's angry, seething calls for vengeance. She heard all of these people saying that life would never be the same. And it was several years later that she realized whatever they thought to her generation was normal. Never be for her. Another young woman said that all of her life she has lived under the dark shadow of global warming, knowing that one day her life may very well be turned upside down as she and her generation try to figure out how to live on this planet after previous generations have ravaged it. One young man said that his life had been defined by racist jokes by his father about President Obama. And then Black Lives Matter protests beginning in Ferguson and spreading across the country. Police and citizen shootings of unarmed people. Mass shootings, he said, and how to prepare for them were a regular part. His grade school, middle school, high school, and university experiences. Another young woman said that she hears her mom and dad talk about the partisan war between the right and the left and how it was not always like this. But for her, she said, it's all I've ever really known, was complete dysfunction in local, state, and federal governments, the chance of white nationalists trying to protect statues and monuments that embody a system of slavery and hate. When asked if she was caught off guard by what happened on January 6th, the insurrection, she shrugged her shoulders and said no. What caught her off guard was the fact that her parents were caught off guard. And as for COVID, well, COVID was just another disruption in what had been a life full of chaos and fear and disruption. The reporter then asked this group of young adults, how do we move forward? How do we move from this place that we're in now, where the last 20 years have seemed so hard and so challenging, especially for someone who's being raised up in it? How do we move from this place to another place? The answer of one young woman was just filled with hopelessness. She said, no clue. I don't even think there is a way forward. I don't even think there is a way forward. No one resisted what she said. And there were 7 or 8 young adults on that panel, and not one of them resisted what she said. Their diagnosis of the last 20 years was chilling for me, especially since I have young adults who could have been sitting on a panel like that. Their diagnosis of the last 20 years was chilling for me, but what was more chilling than anything else was the hopelessness. Was this feeling, this sense that there was no way forward. There was no hope. Jeremiah 33 is an oracle of prophetic vision that was addressed to the southern kingdom of Judah and addressed to them while they were living in exile. But this oracle begins with a vision of defeat. The walls, palaces, homes, and temple have been looted and burned to the ground. Dead bodies, we are told, litter the streets. In addition to defeat and death, Jeremiah 33 describes the city of Jerusalem, after the people are hauled off into exile, as being desolate and barren. Whereas once the streets and surrounding countryside were teeming with herds and crops and people, now there are no people or even animals on the streets of Jerusalem. Jerusalem and the surrounding countryside are a wasteland. The people living in exile, that's all they've known. That's all they've known. All they've known is defeat and death and oppression. Like the young adults in my opening, for the people of God living in exile in Babylon, they did not believe that there was a way forward. That's why so many of them we know accepted the way forward that the Babylonians gave them. The Babylonians gave them a way forward. The Babylonians said, come into the city. Beni to Marduk. Worship our God. And you can put out your tile and you can go into business. You can have a way out. You can have a way forward, but you have to become Babylonian. And we know that many of the Jewish people chose that as a way forward. But as we learned from Jeremiah, God has a vision for the future of God's people. God intends for them to move forward. God, speaking through the prophet, said, beginning in verse 10, just prior to the passage that was read for us, this is what the Lord says. You say about this place, referring to Jerusalem, you say about this place, it is a desolate waste without people or animals. Yet in the towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem that are deserted, inhabited by neither people nor animals, there will be heard once more the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, and the voices of those who bring thank offerings to the house of the Lord, saying, give thanks to the Lord Almighty, for the Lord is good, his love endures forever. For I will restore the fortunes of the land as they were before, says the Lord. Notice how God, through Jeremiah, speaks to their pain and their fear. Notice how God speaks to their hopelessness, to the very reality that they do not believe there is a way forward. Israel, Jerusalem, Judah, it is a desolate wasteland. There is nothing there for them. There is no way forward. But God promises that people and animals will populate those streets again. God promises that the sounds of joy and gladness, of bride and bridegroom, of people joyfully worshiping God in the temple, those sounds will be heard again on those streets that remind them of nothing more than death and desolation. And why? What will bring about this transformation of fate? What will bring hope and joy and gladness to the people in the streets of Jerusalem? How will they move forward from this experience of desolation and defeat and oppression to an experience of joy and gladness? Jeremiah tells us it's because God is good. In this long passage, everything builds up to this causal statement, for the Lord is good. It is because of the very goodness of God that they will be able to move forward. It's interesting to me that when you look throughout Scripture, so many of these times when the people of God find themselves in a situation of oppression or defeat or sin, that they move forward because they embrace God's goodness. So when the people of Israel are languishing in oppression in the land of Egypt and they cry out to God, we're told it is because God is good, that God responds and God carries them on eagle's wings to the promised land. When they are wandering in the desert, facing famine and other warring tribes, we're told that they embrace the goodness of God. They trust in that goodness, and God moves them from this experience of defeat and desolation and fear to a new place. In the story of King David, we're told that in Psalm 32 and in Psalm 51, that the very hands of God were upon him, weighing him down because of his sin. He He describes himself as being in a slimy pit that he cannot climb out of. Because every time he tries, of his own power, he slips back into the pit. But he embraces the goodness of God. And he experiences God's goodness manifested as forgiveness, moving him from this place and this experience to a new place where he worships God. Throughout the Old Testament, God's people experienced all sorts of different realities of defeat and death and suffering and calamity and threat. I mean, really, when you look at the Old Testament, there's just a little bit where things seem to be going really good for them. All the rest of the time, they're dealing with this kind of reality of droughts and famine, of plagues and pestilence. And it is always the goodness of God that moves them from that place to a new place, to a new experience. It's interesting that when you look at this theme in the Old Testament of the goodness of God, that it's related to things like forgiveness, to justice and liberation. It's related to these themes of how God moves people from one place to another place. These are challenging times. Very, very challenging times. And I think for young adults in particular, these are very, very challenging times. Just when we begin to think we might be coming out from under this dark, oppressive shadow of COVID, we hear about another variant. Omicron. Sounds really nasty, doesn't it? I mean, just the name makes me scared. And it makes me wonder, are we going back to that place again of isolation and separation in our homes? That works okay for some. It's not ideal, but for others, it's absolute. Devastating. Just when we think we're stepping out, we're hit again. These are challenging, challenging times, and we struggle with how do we move from here to this new place that God has in store for us. How do we make that move? I want to suggest to you that the pattern we see throughout Scripture is that of embracing the goodness of God, trusting in the goodness of God, not in gimmicks or programs, but trusting in the fundamental goodness of God, that God desires to move God's people from those experiences that are challenging to new places. That can take different forms for each and every one of us, as well as a form for us as a community. One of my favorite Christian philosophers, Soren Kierkegaard, when talking about the story of Abraham, he talked about how Abraham took a leap of faith. That here was Abraham called by God to step out from his family, step out from his culture, step out from everything that gave him a sense of identity and belonging and security and hope. Step out from that and go into the wilderness. And the wilderness wasn't a place he went camping with the wee little ones back in those days. The wilderness was a place of tremendous fear and threat. Soren Kierkegaard says that Abraham had to take a leap of faith, of trusting in God and go into the wilderness. In some of his later writings, Soren Kierkegaard emphasized that whereas Abraham took what he called a gigantic faith, our leap of faith is nowhere near as dramatic. Because we can look at Abraham. We can look at the story of Israel. We can look at King David. We can look at Jeremiah. We can look at the people in exile. And we can see how story after story after story, they embraced the goodness of God. And God helped move them to a new place. And that's where we start Advent this year. Having just heard within the last day or so of a potentially new threatening variant. New fear, new threat, new concern. How do we move forward? We trust in the goodness of God. We embrace the goodness of God.